Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On October 8th, 1871, one of history's most famous and destructive fires occurred. This fire killed over 300 people. It destroyed 3.3 square miles of the city. It destroyed over 17,000 buildings and left more than 100,000 people homeless in a city with a population of 300,000. It cost over $4.5 billion of damage in today's dollars. What is this fire? The Great Chicago Fire. And who started it? Chicago Tribune reporter Michael Ahern claimed to know. He said it was Mrs. O'Leary and her cow. Apparently, when she was milking it, the cow kicked over a lantern, which started the barn on fire and then the rest of the city. Poor Mrs. O'Leary and this cow were blamed for this destructive fire and still are popularly blamed to this day. But some 20 years later, after the fire happened in 1891, the reporter retracted the story, saying he made it up. He admitted it all was all a lie. But this, unfortunately, didn't stop others from continuing to believe who started this fire. And the story is such a part of local lore, and still is to this day, that the council had to exonerate Miss O'Leary and her cow over 100 years later in 1997. Poor Mrs. O'Leary and her cow became a scapegoat for one of history's most famous and destructive fires. Scapegoats. Our sermon today is all about scapegoats. The scapegoats in your life, in my life, and the scapegoats in the Bible. And if anyone knew about scapegoats in the Bible, it would have to be the people of Israel. The Israelites had a holiday that was based around a literal scapegoat. And in fact, we get the word scapegoat from the Bible in Leviticus 16. There we learn and read about the day of Yom Kippur, which means Day of Atonement. Yom means day and Kippur means atonement. Isn't it fun to learn Hebrew at 9 in the morning? Bet you weren't expecting that when you woke up. But Yom Kippur is the holiest day in Judaism. It's still practiced today by believing Jews. This year will be at the end of September, and this is the day that features the scapegoat. Yom Kippur, Israel's Day of Atonement, was a day rich in ritual yet drenched in blood. In a sequence of divinely ordered steps, the high priest would carefully wash, dress, and prepare himself and the people of Israel to receive blood-bought forgiveness for all their sins. And the Lord commanded that three animals would be part of this day, one bull and two goats. And so to get ready for the festival, the high priest would sacrifice the bull for himself and for the sins of his family. Then another goat would be sacrificed for the people of Israel before the Lord, and this third goat would have something strange happen to it. The high priest would place both of his hands on the head of this goat. And why did he do it? Moses says, Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people, all their transgressions and all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the desert. And toward the end of the chapter, Moses explains the point of it all. He says, for on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. In other words, this poor goat is sent into the wilderness bearing their sins to die. The removal of this goat conveyed the truth that the people are forgiven and cleansed before the Lord. And so this poor abandoned goat came to be called the scapegoat and still serves as a symbol of someone who is blamed for the crimes or sins of another. The Israelites know all about scapegoats. And you know what? We do too, don't we? As sinners, we often look to blame others, trying to shift responsibility and consequences to them. We often look to make others scapegoats. And you know what? It starts young. We really seemed hardwired to do this. The other day, Mia and I were sitting on our bed, and she let out just a little burp. And Dawn was in the other room and heard it, and so she playfully says, "Who made that noise? Who did that?" And smiling, Mia turns and looks at me and says, "Daddy." I was shocked. My little toddler threw me under the bus and blamed me for something I didn't do. And we've done that too, haven't we? As kids, maybe we blame that outburst of anger because of a little brother, or maybe blamed a teacher for our act of disobedience. But sadly, things don't change with age. We still make scapegoats in adulthood. It can happen in our daily life and vocation. It can be coworkers, bosses, underlings, the person in traffic, or our neighbor. We might say, "Well, if they didn't leave it out, then maybe I wouldn't have taken it." We might say, "If they wouldn't dress that way, then maybe I wouldn't look. If maybe they didn't act that way, then of course I wouldn't get angry and have to say something." We all try to reason. But worse yet, scapegoating can happen in intimate settings, in family life too. We can make an innocent spouse or son or sister or sibling one. And sadly, this behavior is as old as humanity. In our Old Testament text, Genesis 3, what does Adam do when God confronts him about eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, listen what he says. He says, "She gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." He blames Eve. He says it's all her fault. But last I checked, Eve didn't make Adam eat or force him to do anything. It was his own choice and volition. But our Old Testament text shows another sad reality. We can blame God when we can't fault anyone else. When God asked Adam, really the first thing he says is, "The woman you gave me to be with, she gave me of the fruit of the tree and I ate." In other words, he says, "God, this is all your fault this happened. If you didn't give me Eve, then I wouldn't have ate from the tree. This is on you." But unfortunately, though, we're ultimately responsible for our own woes and actions. We can't blame anyone else. The Service of Compline's Confession says it well when it says, "I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault." We can't shift the blame to others. Our knowing and trying to make scapegoats really shows our need for one. And in our gospel text this morning, Matthew says, "Let me show you your scapegoat." And this scapegoat is not your normal looking goat. It looks a little bit different than the others. At the Jordan River, this goat convinces John to baptize him and says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, as he has declared God's Son and takes the sins of the world upon him." This sin-bearing goat is then led into the desert as he carries the sins of the people away from them. He was abandoned to meet his doom as he faces the devil alone. But rather than blaming others, this goat shoulders full responsibility for keeping God's law on our behalf. And as every scapegoat is led away from the encampment to die, this goat was led out of Jerusalem to be crucified. At the cross, this goat bore the sins of the world, the sins he didn't do. He took upon himself your sins, mine. He bore the anger and lust and theft and idolatry and gossip that we've committed. He took the blame on himself for you and for me. At the cross, Jesus says, "Lord, I did this. It was all me." And he did it for you. But unlike that goat which dies for the sins of the people, this goat doesn't stay dead. He returns from the wilderness. He returns from the dead, showing we are forgiven and that he lives forever. Jesus is your living scapegoat. Your sin is gone and paid for. Have no fear. As we begin the season of Lent, the words of the traditional gradual make a wonderful application and reminder here. They are, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This Lent, fix your eyes on the God who bore your sin and died for you. Fix your eyes on the God that cares about you, that cares about your problems, that cares about your life, so much so that he gave his son for you. If that doesn't say, I care for you and what goes on for you, I don't know what would. Fix your eyes on the one who is your scapegoat. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, your scapegoat. Amen.